I told you I bought a new phone, so my audio's better, but I've had it sitting here for 2 weeks, and I haven't hooked it up. Welcome on October 26, 2011. Wow! Apparently, I was scheduled just recently to appear on the Compassionate HR show in December. It's not someplace you'd think you'd find me, but I guess the host, HR Margot, thinks that tough love is compassionate, and it is! Anyway, the other day she sent me a direct message on Twitter that said, Animal, do me a solid. Do me a solid. And I had to stop for a second and figure out what that meant. The first three things that came to mind were a mother, a baby, and diarrhea. And then I realized that this is a pattern interrupt. I was throwing completely off course mentally, and it doesn't take much, I admit, just by a phrase that someone put in a message. And I remembered that I once read a book called Hypnotic Sales. Hypnotic Sales. And the author advised you to ask people questions starting with the words, do you ever wonder? Because asking them to wonder threw them off course mentally into what he claimed was a more suggestible state of mind. Yeah, suggestible! I also read that Milton Erickson, the famous psychiatrist, Milton Erickson, you didn't get it the first time, he said he could hypnotize someone just with a handshake. I was amazed when I first heard that, when I read it. But then I figured out that if someone gave you a weird handshake, you would start wondering about it, and your mind would go off course, just like when you ask someone, do you ever wonder, or can you do me a solid? Anyway, I asked myself if these mental derailers that cast us into a state of confusion or wonder, are they just tools that salespeople and psychiatrists used to bamboozle us? And my answer was not a flat no. I was surprised. This is what I thought of. The other day, Jerry Albright, the shouter on this show, told me that the way people loosen up so they can participate in a party is to have a couple of drinks. Not too much. Just enough to put you into the party frame of mind. You'd think I would know that, but I didn't. And likewise, these pattern interrupts, they're verbal booze. They are used to throw people out of their regular focus so they're in a more receptive mood. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And the way to start using them, listen to this, is to find jargon words and phrases from fringe groups and throw them into your cold calls, just like Margot did with me. And it's going to work. You're going to have more rapport with the clients and candidates you discover online, and that's really relevant because we've got the king of online sourcing with us today, the great Shally. He knows all about distracting people as well, all the verbal tricks. He gave me a lesson once using distraction to lower resistance when you want to get information from someone, and today he might even hypnotize you on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
Sally, you sound like you have a poll worker in your throat today. You okay?
Dude, I don't need to start off with this, Mike. I'm about sick of it. You're almost on the edge of being banned from all this.
Oh,
tighten it up, man. Tighten it up.
Oh, no.
Tighten it up. Be cool.
Okay. You guys don't fight, okay? But I want you to show, I want to tell you, even before I introduce the guests, that, you know, when I thought that do me a solid had something to do with your intestines, I wasn't really that far from the truth. I looked it up on Google, And I found that one of the first things that came up was an article in Men's Health, and it was called Can You Do Me a Solid? And it, right under the title, they had a picture of a bathroom. And I also looked up Can You Do Me a Hard One? And it took me back to the definition for Can You Do Me a Solid? So anyway, that's that. I'll just add for everybody's information, because I saw it. Men's Health also had an article, Jerry, called Can Your Laptop Hurt Your Family Jewels? And the answer was no. You can work with your laptop on your lap, and you don't have to worry that Wi-Fi is going to sterilize you. And Shirley Stickle, are you here?
Yeah, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Shirley. Thank you for calling in. Now,
I got awesome. Is the audio okay? I don't know if the audio sounds
good.
Yeah,
you're okay. You're not real loud. That's why I talked in a
real
voice. Is
anyone else hearing an echo?
Somebody else is a bit
fuzzy.
Okay, all
right. I'll try to yell louder then.
Okay, that's good. Just put the phone near your mouth. That's a big secret on this show,
that's
okay?
That's a good start.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I should do that.
Now, I got to tell you, Shally, I have an opening act for you. Really popular guy on this show. So I have to ask you to stand to the side for a few minutes. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I heard a Dave Manister, I heard a tiny echo there. I don't know if that's someone's, it doesn't sound like someone's receiver or whatever. So I'm just going to let that go for the time being. Charles Chucky Krugel, are you here?
Yes, recruiting animal, I'm here.
Oh, don't sound so enthusiastic, okay? But this is a big return for a very popular guest. Charles Krugel is an employment lawyer. Am I right about that? Is that how you would characterize yourself, Charles?
Yeah, labor and employment law, both.
Labor and employment law in Chicago, in the United States, right?
Yep.
You're a lawyer extraordinaire on this show. You like coming here. And I told you that we have this new breaking news section at the front of the show, and you told me that if anyone has any questions from time to time, you're willing to come on for a few minutes and answer them as a warm-up act for the show, and I'm very happy about that, and I want to welcome you back, okay?
Thanks. Always glad to do a solid.
Great.
Excellent. Guys, paying attention.
Okay, first tell us your web address for your website.
Yeah, charlesakrugel.com.
How come you're not on Twitter? People are going to want to talk to you today about the, you know, you talk about you in Twitter, and there's no way to reference you.
I'm very insecure. I'm afraid I'll have zero followers.
Okay. I don't think so. Before I get going, does anybody who's on the show live today want to monitor Twitter for me? Any volunteers?
I'll do it.
You? Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
But if somebody else wants to, pass it on to them, okay?
Anybody now, but Mike. Okay. I jumped in because I'm surprised he didn't jump on that.
I like Mike, okay? I'll say
hey,
it right
I
now.
Like Mike
I like
too,
Mike.
But you figure a guy wanting a spot on the show would have seen an opportunity there and jumped on it.
Okay.
I
wouldn't mind
joining
the
lawyer should
a horrible after show host.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Now,
it's coming
now, listen,
to a head, Mike.
I got the question.
Today.
The question I have. The chat question I have for Chuck today is, I was at the Radical Planet Unconference in Toronto in September, and Fish Dogs was there, and he was telling us all about Foursquare, which I never use. But he said, look, if you're recruiting a certain kind of person, let's say an engineer, you go to Starbucks across the street from where their office is or in that neighborhood, you get there early, you go on Foursquare, you check in and say, I'm at this Starbucks interviewing this kind of engineer from 9 till 11 this morning. When these techies come on, they do go on Foursquare. They're going to, when they check into that location, that area, they're going to see your note. And he says it works. People will come to Starbucks and talk to you. And so my question was, can you get in trouble with the government by only checking into certain neighborhoods, because that means certain other neighborhoods that might have certain high concentrations of certain ethnicities or certain people with racial or religious backgrounds, if they're being neglected, are you going to get in trouble? Isn't that the question I put to you, Charles?
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty exotic, but it's not unrealistic, is it?
No, and actually I think you can get in some trouble. If you're in an area that is, well, if it's ethnically closed off, and, you know, like in Chicago historically, the south side has been predominantly black and the north side has been predominantly white. So, you know, you used to have redlining for mortgage areas, things like that.
What do you have? Redlining?
Redlining, they called it, where basically certain ethnicities cannot obtain financing in certain neighborhoods. So, you know, if basically a white neighborhood wanted to keep minorities out, whether it was Hispanics or blacks, they could do that by basically not allowing financing in that area. It's a softer sort of discrimination. I do think that the same problem can occur with this type of sourcing, where somebody's at a Starbucks, and let's say they're doing in-person interviews, and the Starbucks is not disability accessible.
Who would think of that? Man, that's really, I mean, what are you going to tell Starbucks to put in a ramp? I mean, that's
weird.
Well,
don't they all have to have that? I mean, don't all businesses have to have a disabled ramp or
no, it depends on whether or not it meets the essential and the reasonable accommodation requirement. And there are activists around the country in Chicago, too, who go around from store to store in various neighborhoods trying to enter those stores, you know, if they're in a wheelchair or something like that, and they try to basically determine if disabled people can access those stores. And there's been a lot of controversy regarding older street front type stores in older neighborhoods, whether or not that would be a reasonable.
I don't believe the recruiter can get in trouble for there not being a ramp in the store. Wait a second, Charles. The other thing is, couldn't the main excuse be, look, I'm looking for, and not really an excuse, but justification, I'm looking for this kind of person. I'm going to a Starbucks near their office, and that's what determines which Starbucks I go to, not the ethnicity of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a good defense?
I think the real issue for recruiters, this is Don Kahn, the real issue for recruiters are cheap-ass recruiters that go into Starbucks and say that I'm here to interview, and they don't buy a freaking cup of coffee. They stack people up at tables around them and think it's their office, and they don't pay the company that they're working at. Buy a freaking cup of coffee if you're interviewing people.
Well, they do buy coffee.
Part of the problem nowadays is intentional versus unintentional discrimination, and really do you encounter instances where you have intentional discrimination where people are like, I'm going to set up specifically in this neighborhood because I know that blacks and Hispanics and Indians and other non-whites won't frequent that location. Usually it's more of a secondary kind of thing where basically after the fact you find out that, well, all the black people in this one particular area didn't have adequate access to public transportation and therefore couldn't make it to this one location, a Starbucks or whatever, in a suitable amount of time. Maybe there was an accident
that
day.
Okay, but you know what? Last thing, because I got the – you don't know it, Charles, but you're on the show with the most famous guy in the recruitosphere, Jolly. He's our big man. Okay, I can't keep him on the sidelines too long. He might just disappear on me, or he might get mad and ruin the show deliberately, okay? But the thing is, let's say you've got an office on the north side of Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't get charged for that. You have to also have an office, a satellite office on the south side. I mean, no, that's ridiculous, right?
No, but I think there's time. There's basically there's time and space limitations where if you're not allowing people maybe enough time or you're only giving them a limited window of time or access to you, and that's due to location and due to the amount of time you're spending there. I think there could be a problem. If you're talking about
on a case, if I came to you tomorrow and said they don't, you know, they're not given time for me to get there, I'm an animal, they don't want me, would you take on that case?
Well, I represent companies, so.
You represent companies.
Well, job fairs could do the same thing. I mean,
yeah, what about job fairs? That's a good question.
Yeah, but job fairs, I mean, you're talking about something that may be held from 9 to 5 over the maybe on one or more days where people can get there at any given time, or maybe it's not locationally challenged. So, you know, on a context-to-context examination of this issue, if you're talking about a specific Starbucks that's in a locationally challenged area or kind of closed off where people from poorer areas can't access it or disabled people can't access it, and you're only there for a limited window of time, and due to all these limitations, you basically have 500 white males applying for the job, and you hire only one, you know, a white male, and then everybody else was basically eliminated from contention, you know, from being competitive for that job due to these time and place restrictions.
Okay, Shelly,
so what about if
the
job requires internet and you're too poor to have a computer and not use the internet? Is that discrimination too?
It could be if it only impacts against these against minorities, a certain group of people, disabled, military status.
Anybody can access the internet if they pay the $12 a month, right?
Or
so if the job requires
library.
That you have experience with using Google on the internet, you could go to a library and use it for
exactly.
free. So, you know, how is that? It's the same kind of it's an access thing. That's not up to the employer to, you know, to provide access for the interview. If there's a ramp and there's facilities and people can get there in a car or in a bus, that's where the employer is. So if you happen to be in a Starbucks, what's the difference between a Starbucks and an office building on 10th Street?
Yeah,
well,
we already discussed that.
In the scenario you're talking
ahead,
about,
Charles,
there isn't that much of a difference. There isn't that much of a difference, but, you know, it's always an after-the-fact analysis, and we're not talking about intentional discrimination here. We're talking about basically an unintentional impact based on certain employment practices.
I could even picture, like, the opposite happening. Say you do have it in, say, a more urban area. What about the white guys
exactly.
that wouldn't want to go there to interview?
Sure. Yeah,
even though they are the majority, but
yeah,
they wouldn't want to go there because, you know, for a number of reasons.
Yeah, you could probably make a case for that too. It you know, depending on who ends up getting hired. It's always an after-the-fact analysis. That's what makes a lot of these issues so difficult and dealing with some of these agencies so difficult too, because a lot of these agencies, in my opinion, they're not interested in conciliation or trying to resolve the issues. They're just interested in getting the case through the process as fast as possible and just meeting out whatever punishment is going to, you know, net them, dollars or whatever.
Got you.
Okay. Judge Cherry, last thing. What are you going to give a rejoinder there, Jerry?
No, but I do want to give you a Twitter stream update.
Okay.
Research Goddess, Amy Beth Hale, is listening to the show.
Great.
And there's also a question. Avocados, are they poisonous to your pets?
Okay.
The answer might surprise you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Now, Charles Krogel, anything else to say? I think that settles it.
I like avocados, though.
Okay. Now, I want you actually to stay for a second, Charles, because this guy we've got on the show, you might not know him, he might be useful to you. I want you to meet Shally. You know, Bruce Springsteen used to call Clarence Clemens, before he died, the big man. And Shally is the big man in the recruiter sphere. And you know the song 10th Avenue Freeze Out? That's a song we're going to sing today. You're going to sing with me, Charles?
Sure, I'll sing with you.
Shally, are you going to sing? Shally, are you still there? Did you leave already?
Hey, I'm here. I don't know that song, but I'll sing along.
All you got to do is shout out 10th Avenue Freeze Out. I'm going to play something from a Bruce Springsteen concert, and he's going to lead us through it. He always asks the audience to sing, right? He's going to
You got
say,
it. I'm in.
When the change was made uptown, the big man joined the band. Everybody goes crazy, and everybody goes crazy over Shally as well. Okay, so we'll try this. Then we'll get it to all the stuff that people are really waiting for here. Charles, you can hang up after we go. We'll say goodbye to you, but thank you for coming on. If someone's got a question, a legal question for Charles, send it to me, and we'll book him again. Here we go, everybody. There's a little intro, so you don't have to worry. But when he starts shouting, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, we got to shout too. Okay, go on.
They made that change of town, and the big man joined the band. The little planet, raise the hand, raise them up now. Or is it backtrack easy?
You embarrassed me.
Where were you?
I'm sorry. I was shouting there. Charles, thank you very much. You can stay or you can go. It's up to you, but hope to have you back soon.
Thanks, R.A. Talk to you later.
Okay. R.A., you hear that? Okay.
All right.
Shally, shame on you.
Sorry,
okay?
Animal. I have a voice for print.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You just have to show you're willing. That was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Shallow,
all
can
right.
you do me a can you do me a solid?
I don't know, man. I didn't take my FabriCon this morning.
Do you still use pattern interrupts in your work? You told me when you sometimes you can call up someone at the front desk, and when she starts, you know, taking the conversation in the right wrong direction, you can say something about the weather or something like that to distract her, and then that lets
mm-hmm.
you take control of the conversation again. Is that true? Is that a good thing?
Yes. It's not about taking control. It's about steering. So there's a difference between owning or controlling the conversation and, you know, kind of moving it along a particular direction. So all you're doing is redirecting back to your original question, which was, you know, directed at finding a piece of information. So it's not a, it's not about controlling the other individual. It's about steering the conversation.
Okay, but the thing, the way you do it is, you say something entirely irrelevant, just like you just came to mind, like, oh man, what a rainy day today, or it's gloomy, isn't it? And that throws the person, they will answer your question, and it takes them off of their current track, like, who are you? Why are you calling here? Why do you want to talk to that guy? That's what we're talking about, right?
Correct. And other techniques include making noise. Sometimes, you know, like
just ask, is somebody
with noise
actually,
on your microphone. Yeah, I'm driving my car. I can't really hear you very well. Can you speak a little louder? Those kinds
yeah.
of things.
Okay. Now, is somebody actually listening to the show on their speakers and on the phone and causing an echo that way? Because I don't like echoes. It drives me crazy, okay?
Hey, Animal.
Not terrible today. What is it?
Just a point of clarity here.
Yeah.
Some of us know who Shally is, but I don't know if everybody does.
Shally, introduce yourself, please.
Sorry about that. Sorry
Shally.
About that, gentlemen.
He's the king. I already said he's the most famous. He is. He's the most famous person in the recruitosphere. He's the
what
king.
What does that mean? What does it mean?
Everybody knows him. He's the one man with one name. He's the big man. Okay? You're the big dog, Jerry. He's the big man. Jerry, you introduce yourself, Shally. Introduce yourself. Name
That's all I wanted, man. That's all
website.
I wanted.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no worries, man. So I'm a sorcerer in terms of recruitment. That is the front end of the process, as defined by SOM, the talent identification and talent engagement side of it, as opposed to further on down, which is the you know the recruitment process.
The real
sometimes
work.
Defined as the offer or interviewing and all that other stuff. Sorcerers are usually involved
okay,
in the
okay.
identification
that's
and engagement.
Don't get verbose on me, okay? Now, look, I was going to ask you something. You think you're trapped in the sourcing brand. Is that overpowered? You do everything, Shally. I know all about you. You were hanging around all these online discussion groups with techies before anybody else, right? When they were still on bulletin boards. Am I right?
I don't know about before everyone else, but certainly pretty early on, yes.
Pretty early on. Okay, don't take me to task on everything, will you?
No,
so,
I mean, it's like 98. I'd say 98 was right around when I got started in it, and then there's
okay,
probably
forget it. Look, you know what? I
love
hey,
Animal, you need
time.
To show him
Pioneer.
Animal.
We're called Pioneers,
show him some
Animal.
Respect. Come on,
okay,
Animal.
Okay, you know what?
Animal,
I'm
you're
gonna...
talking to the John Gotti of recruiting here. Show some respect.
Okay. Look, you know, Kathy Manis.
I got people that know people.
Kathy Manis is always looking for trouble. I try to, you know, give her a little credit for bringing Shally on, and I get attacked for it. Don't give me. I don't want to hear from you. Lay off. Don't criticize me all the time. Every
show. Oh, your fan club's here. Your fan club's here.
Okay. So the pattern interrupt. Okay, now I got to get into the real questions. Sean Sweet. Said Animal, please ask Shally his favorite search string, what he generally starts a new assignment with. Is there such a thing, Shally?
Well, yeah, there could be. I don't have one by default, but I would say that my favorite thing to do is to look for the patterns of words like team or about on the titles of pages, because that's usually going to reveal bios of people. So if there was
I don't
a
understand a
particular
word you
technique.
Said. Don't understand a word you said. Does anybody else?
Looking for,
yes, I do.
Looking for the word team, for example, in the title of a page will bring back meet our team, about our team, those kinds of pages.
Yeah.
Yep, I get
it. So what would the string look like?
It could be any variation, but you could use the command in title colon and then team, and then there's other versions. There's in URL. You can also just do natural language phrases. our team, meet our team, about our team, about our staff.
Yeah,
those
but,
are all
so you're looking, but you're looking inside a specific company at that time, right?
Well, you could. I usually start with just a broad search.
Hold on. If you're listening on the phone, turn off your computer speakers. I'm hearing your computer through the phone. Jeez. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Just lay out the whole search string so I don't have to beg you for it so I can get through this question.
Okay, let's start with in title, colon, no spaces, team, and then some sort of technology. So it could be, you know, Java or something like that, and that'll bring back bios of people on homepage.
You put the word and in there?
What was that, Jerry?
Or the plus sign, do you put and or the plus sign, a comma, what do you put between the word team and Java? You don't need it. Okay.
Correct. You don't need the and or the plus sign.
In title, colon, team, Java.
And space, and then some sort of technology, right? You could start with that, and then you're going to refine it by adding geography, for example, a particular company if you're targeting a, you know, let's say you want somebody who did Java at IBM or someone who did C++ at Microsoft, then you look for C++ in Microsoft.
Okay. Now, I've had a question sitting here for a couple of weeks. You seem like a good guy to ask. Somebody sent me a DM, and he said he was on Elancer, and he saw an ad for someone to create about 50 phony LinkedIn profiles. A recruiter was asking for it. Why would someone do that? Is that sounds to me like it's a sourcing thing, is it?
No, I think that's actually more a sales thing. It's probably profiles of you know that are attractive to specific types of recruiters or hiring managers, and it's a phishing expedition. It's a bait and switch. There's
what are you fishing for?
A way to do this. What's that?
What are they fishing for?
That's scary.
Clients. It's. I'm not saying that that's what they did, but that's one of the things I've seen. So they put a profile that looks really good. It's got all the right keywords in it, and a you know a corporate recruiter will email or inmail the person, and then the company will respond back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not available, but my you know my friend so-and-so is available. You can talk to this search firm about me, and you know, and so they charge a placement fee. So that's happened. I also know that in corporate espionage, we use those for phishing in a different way. We create fake networks to connect with people in a particular industry so that we can appear to be part of that industry. That's something that is a practice.
Oh, okay. So you can create your own network with 50 people, essentially, right?
Pretty much. You can create your own network, and it looks like you have 50 connections, so other people will connect to you, and then all of a sudden the other, you know, once you have 500 connections, there's you know, a lot of people that are connected to those profiles that are connected to people that don't really exist.
Okay. Does somebody have a question?
Quick note from Twitter. Jenny Devon is enjoying her lunch break. Just called into the show, and she's loving it.
Hi, Jenny.
She
thank
specifically
you.
Notes,
aside, you know, that is
I'm
not
doing
necessarily
great.
Ethical. I'm not talking about enjoying your lunch. I'm talking about creating fake profiles. And it's definitely against the rules on the agreement that you sign. So when you sign up for LinkedIn, you do sign an agreement electronically that says that you won't create a false person. And so you are violating the terms of the license agreement of LinkedIn, not to mention the fact that it may be ethical. Beyond that, I don't know, so I'm not saying that this is a practice.
Okay, so we're leaving that one.
Endorse.
We're leaving that one. Yesterday, Monday, a friend of mine's wife called me. She's an architect. She's a senior project manager at a big social housing agency. I just started you so late, Shelley. I'm in a rush now. I only got a half an hour for you after an hour from an hour show. I don't know how it happened.
All right,
anyway,
I'll be brief.
Okay, so she's a senior project manager in a big social housing agency run by the municipal government. Her focus is accessibility. She wants to apply for a job as a construction project manager with a provincial government agency. That's another public sector thing. You'd think that would be good. But they asked in their ad for commercial experience, not public sector experience. And they laid out in the ad all the standard functions of a project manager. In her resume or cover letter, does she have to lay out all the standard functions of a project manager, or can she focus on, you know, her specific accomplishments? Her title's project manager or whatever, so the ATS should bring her up, But is she going to miss out because she doesn't say stuff like responsible for the development and implementation of plans and strategies for construction projects? She takes that for granted with her title in that company. What's
your answer? So there's a good answer and a bad answer. In other words, the unfortunate answer. The unfortunate answer that you're probably not going to like is that most recruiters don't look in their ATS anyway. So it doesn't matter what she puts on her resume. Once she's in an ATS, she's in the dark hole and nobody will ever find her.
Uh-huh.
Now, the good answer is for the companies and the recruiters that do search on the ATS, most modern ATSs these days have the applicant tracking systems have some built-in ability to recognize a lexicon or an ontology. Think of it as a dictionary, where if you look for project manager, the ATS knows that there are other words that are similar, that are, let's call them synonyms, that it'll return. So she shouldn't be missing out. However, the real problem is most people don't look in their ATS for their resumes, for, you know,
but
resumes from the past.
If they're wanting commercial background, she's got to reference that, though, doesn't she? How are they going to know?
Well, that's true. But remember that a resume, the purpose of a resume is to be a summary of your experience, not a detailed listing of your experience. So if I say that I'm a recruiter and you're looking for a recruiter, that ought to be enough for you to pick up the resume and take a look at it. So it shouldn't be missed, and that's what ATSs usually look for.
Okay, but what
patterns
about
like
online?
That. If you put
if
project manager, they're also going to look for kinds of words like that.
Okay, you have to cut it short. Don't be so verbose with me. Now, what about searching online? You're doing all those Boolean strings. Do they have to really keyword stuff their resumes? Should I tell this woman, you know, somewhere on your cover letter or somewhere on your resume, I'm going to have to put a paragraph that includes every standard term for construction project managers? Is she going to be in trouble? Will she be found online, for instance, in a Boolean search if she doesn't have every detail in?
She should be found by people who are well-trained enough to be able to write a majority of those. You don't have to write them all.
Should she put
so
the keywords
I don't think she has
in.
To think of
That's
every variation
question.
Animal.
But she should put the keywords in, yes or no, and I'll move on.
She should put the main keywords in, yes.
Okay. Are third-party recruiters doomed? I came to that question again after watching the SourceCon stream last week. I saw, I don't know, before or after you were on, Shelley, I think right after, with this woman named Jillian Snavely, did you see her?
Yes.
Did you see her, Shelley? I'm talking to you.
Yes,
you're
I
the
caught
guest,
parts
remember?
Of it. Yes, I was running the lab and going back and forth.
Yeah, I know. So maybe you didn't see it. She's a VP of sourcing at a bank. She said she reduced the use of third-party recruiters from something like 50% of their hires to 1%. And I'm wondering, is that doom for people like me? She did it by building a sourcing team, which she called a sourcing team. They use ads, they use events, and they use online searches. What's the story there? What's the future based on what she said?
Hold on. Shelley, while you think and construct your answer to that, it's time for the Andy Gregory Halftime Report.
Thank you, Jerry.
Who's running this show today? I'm just curious.
Knock it off or you'll be barred.
You know, I was a little it's Andy. I was a little concerned when Charles came on with the lawsuit talk, and then I realized, hey, it really doesn't apply to me because my niche is coffee drinking minority engineers with disabilities who are just waiting for me to check in. And the good news, and I started to do like an interrupt thing, but you know, like a should I do that or you know, how's the weather in there? But I got distracted. But the good news for those of you who weren't here in the first half is that Shally's here and we're just getting started. The bad news is that the second half of the show, it will be spoken entirely in Boolean.
Okay, that was funny. He went out on a weak note there, Andy. But thank you.
Thank
you for
your
contribution. Okay.
Thank you,
okay, Shally, back to you. Thank you, Andy Gregory. Okay, Shally.
So that's a big ask to predict the future, but let me give you my opinion.
Look at her company. Look what happened. Go ahead.
Well, not every company is PNC, okay? So first of all, you have to have the organizational planning and strategic capabilities to do that. My presentation at SourceCon included what it takes to get there. Jillian's team and through her leadership was able to get to that level, but not everybody will. So sometimes the people, the companies that do that will be able to successfully repeat that, but that's not something everyone's going to be able to do. First of all, not every employer can afford to hire a sourcing team because not every employer is a large multinational bank. There are small and mid-sized companies that don't even have permanent in-house recruiters, much less HR staff. So I don't think that the staffing industry is in jeopardy. I think what we're seeing is a change in how big companies do a majority of their hiring. If it's hiring that is important and critical to them, they're going to try to bring some of that in-house. And when there are niche specialties like coffee-addicted people with disabilities, that's when search firms are going to be able to come in and charge a premium fee because they're going to have the golden Rolodex.
And that is a serious
animal.
That's a serious reduction. Yeah.
You've got the top sourcing guy in the world on your show,
yeah.
And you're sitting here talking about theory and asking him to predict the future. Let's talk about how to find some damn people.
I got to tell you, that blew me away. Her presentation right after Shally.
Oh, what?
Blew me away. And
let's talk about recruiting and sourcing.
Do I have to fight you all the time, okay?
What do you need, Jerry?
Her sourcing team, Shally,
what,
I don't know if you heard this, her sourcing team isn't even in-house. They're moms working out of their home on flex hours so they can pick their kids up at school. Who knows how much she pays them? I don't know. And she said she only uses bounty jobs to manage relationships with other recruiters. I was stunned. Okay, so I'm going to move on like Jerry asked. Next question. Shally, are you ready? Yes? Say yes, Shally.
Yes.
Okay. You were supposed to say yes, Shally. That was the opportunity for you to make a
yes,
joke.
Yes, Shally.
Okay. And what about LinkedIn? I got lots of questions for you. Is what they are, you know, they're the ones who are giving a lot of the power to these internal sourcing teams, aren't they? Yes or no?
No.
Well, why not?
Okay, well, you're saying they're giving the power to these internal sourcing teams, so you're saying that these teams wouldn't exist if it weren't for LinkedIn?
Maybe. Well, here's the next question. How is LinkedIn different from the resume database that are already on the job boards for years already? Why does it seem in all the media like such a game changer when there's already such a thing as a resume database is online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question.
It isn't different. It's the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Why is it making such a big splash?
Well, because it's trendy, because the news and the media picked it up, and because everybody has a legitimate cover story for going on LinkedIn. Let me put it this way. If my profile is on LinkedIn and I'm the regional vice president of sales for a company, I'm not going to get a knock on my door from my boss that says, hey, Shally, how come you're looking for a job? If they find my profile on LinkedIn and they ask me about it, I'm going to say, how come your profile is not on LinkedIn? So whether or not I'm looking for a job, I have a really good reason to be on LinkedIn that isn't necessarily looking for a job.
Okay,
if my resume is on a job board, it's probably because I'm looking for a job.
Let me move on. Job board doctor wanted to ask Shally. Adam will ask Shally, is LinkedIn's talent pipeline a job board killer?
No.
Is that your answer? No. I mean, I'll stick with
no,
that.
It's
or do you want
a job
it sounded
board.
Like
it's
his answer to me.
Killer if it's becoming a job board. So, it, you know, that's like saying, is the new search engine the old search engine killer? No, it's another job board.
The passives are not identifiable on job boards. Everybody's on LinkedIn. It should be on LinkedIn. Everybody.
No, that is not correct. Everybody is not on LinkedIn.
That you want to find.
Not necessarily.
You,
know,
you can read most
fallacy.
Of the Fortune 500 companies on LinkedIn. I think there's only one or two that aren't there. So there's profiles for every major player for Fortune 500 companies there.
If
company profiles,
moment,
you mean?
If I could take a moment and disagree
fallacy.
With that, I'm doing a search right now where they're looking for financial transformation people out of a big four. I got these huge directories of names. I'm going to say 70% of senior-level people in the big four world are not on LinkedIn.
Look, I got a really easy math problem for you guys if you really want to answer this question. How many people are on LinkedIn?
I don't know. You tell us.
Well, according to the notes I've seen recently, 120 million. Now, how many working Americans in the United States, how many people work?
I don't know. Tell us. Don't waste time. I told you. We're short.
I'm
not waiting time, but this is a ridiculous question. How can anybody think everybody's on LinkedIn if there's
okay,
three times
said,
the amount
Shally,
of population that work in the United States than there people are on LinkedIn? And that 120 million, by the way, includes every country in the world. If you look at it, it's only 35 million in the U.S. Now,
okay,
I know there are
Shally,
more than 35
okay,
million people who hold jobs in the United States.
You know,
Are there better quality candidates to be found on LinkedIn? Are there enough
quality according to who? Defined by what?
Defined by your job orders.
So if I'm not on LinkedIn, I'm not good quality?
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Is that
Janice?
Shally, the first is that you're saying, first of all, I think that the relevant question is not how many employees there are in the United States, but how many white-collar employees there are in the United States. That's primarily
you,
what people are looking for on LinkedIn. And the second thing is that LinkedIn is growing very, very quickly, and I think it's less relevant where they are today as where they're going to be tomorrow and in 2 years and in 5 years.
Man, that's Dave Manister, everybody. That was fantastic.
Shally, would you disagree with
me?
I'm
sorry. I don't think that was fantastic at all. I don't think LinkedIn is going to grow to the point where everybody's going to be on LinkedIn because everybody's not on Facebook. Everybody's not on the Internet. I'm saying that there's a lot of people out there. I'm not saying don't use it.
I don't know if everybody is a standard that
okay, guys,
is
listen,
relevant.
You want me to answer a question, I'm going to answer a question. You keep talking over me, I'm going to shut up.
Don't talk to Dave that way, okay? Dave's a special guy.
I'm talking to whoever
show.
It is that interrupts me when I'm talking,
okay?
You want me on the show to talk? I'm here to talk. Don't interrupt me when
go
I'm
ahead.
Answering a question. Talk.
Shally, I apologize. You're my buddy. I don't mean to talk over you.
Thank you. All
Dave
I'm saying is that it's
man.
Not
Dave
everybody. Please don't say that everybody is on anything. That doesn't exist, okay? What you need to do is create a strategy for where people are that you need to find. If you want to be successful in recruiting or sourcing, you go where the people are. If they are on LinkedIn for your industry, for your niche, then you go to LinkedIn. But what if they're not? If you go to LinkedIn and they're not there, you're wasting your time. First, find out where your talent is. Then you can make blanket statements like they're all on here.
Who's not on LinkedIn?
Can I ask Shally a question?
No, I asked a question just now. I want him to answer it. Who's not on LinkedIn?
I know several
you want
guys
me to
that
tell
aren't.
You who's not on LinkedIn?
I know people that aren't on LinkedIn.
Did I talk to you, Jerry? I'm talking to Shally.
I don't know who's not on LinkedIn anymore than I don't know who's not in Atlanta and who's not in Chicago. Seriously?
Okay, hold on. I got to do an ad.
Excellent.
I got to pay for the show with these $2 ads. Listen, everybody. According to Chris Russell, and Shally can comment on this, statistics show that 80% of job openings are never advertised. Now, I don't know if that number 100%, you know, is 100% correct. I just said that. But if you go to Chris's site, his new site, hiddenjobapps.com, you're going to find an incredible list of unadvertised jobs. I got to tell you, it's mind-boggling. He says 450 hidden jobs at NBC Sports in Connecticut, 447 hidden jobs at the SAS Institute in North Carolina, 600 hidden jobs at Home Depot in Utah. And with the Hidden Jobs app, you can discover these jobs. The Hidden Jobs app is available for iPhone and Android, and the database is updated daily with new content. It's ideal, Chris says, for job hunters, recruiters, and reporters, too. HiddenJobApps.com. Can you say it with me, Shally? Hidden Job Apps?
HiddenJobApps.com. Woohoo!
Thank you.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Chris Russell, at Chris Russell. Of allcountyjobs.com. I got another ad to say in a little while, but Shelly, I got to go back to another question. Job board doctor said, are walled-in resume banks a thing of the past? I think he must be thinking that you can get resumes from Indeed.com now. Dave Manister commented on that. He's the little big man now. All the major new services are also walled in. They just have new walls. What is that? I don't understand what Dave meant. And I wanted you to answer job board doctor's question about walls.
I would agree with Dave
banks.
That they all have walls. The walls for whatever the service is going to be is whatever they charge. So right now it might be free, but soon they'll charge. If they don't charge, then they'll ask you to do something else, like join a network or contribute contacts, like in Jigsaw.
LinkedIn, you can
so
still get everything for free. You can still get everything on LinkedIn for free, can't you?
You can get a lot of what's on LinkedIn for free, but not everything.
You can get a lot, and that may be more than enough, and that may be what you need, but it's not everything.
Okay. Somebody wanted to say something? No, I thought somebody wanted to say something there.
What about the walled red, the walled gardens? I guess I've heard that term before. Yeah, I mean, basically anything that's social requires some sort of admission fee. Even though Facebook is free, you have to share you have to open up your privacy. So you're paying the price that way. There's always a price to pay.
Okay. We're talking about financial. You know, I didn't realize I had so many questions.
Okay, you want to talk about financial. At some point, Indeed is going to start charging. You think they're going to give it away for free forever?
I don't know. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Great, Shally, what's your perspective on Monster's Seymour, which is a lot like LinkedIn's Talent Pipeline, in that both allow multiple resume database searches? I don't know what that means even. You want to tell us? I don't know what Monster Seymour is. You want to tell us?
Well, any social network that's built on top of a job database and it has any relationship with it is going to have that caveat that you don't want your boss to find you on there. So if it's branded separately and there's no connection between the two, then you can have that legitimate cover story of, hey, I'm just networking. But as soon as it's got the label of job seeker on it, then people who don't want other people to know that they're looking won't be on there.
Yeah, let's leave that. I don't know what it's about. Maureen always puts this question out, and she put it out on Twitter during the SourceCon, but I don't think it was answered. How fast are databases aging these days, like LinkedIn or Jigsaw?
About 6 months.
What does that mean?
How fast are they aging?
Yeah, what percentage of the names are out of date, or the information is out of date in 6 months?
Well, I can tell you for sure 4%, because 8% of the population dies every year.
Okay, thanks, Shally. That's not a question you want to answer, right? Anybody got a question for Shally?
I answered it. 8% of the population dies, yet their profiles are still on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So are those active, current, existing profiles?
I'm going to say most of those old-timers who are dying at this stage are not on LinkedIn. It's a totally false
figure. Really, if you die in a car accident or a parachuting accident or a scuba diving accident or from cancer, you're not on LinkedIn? Seriously?
You know what? My dad's not on LinkedIn. He's in his 80s, okay?
Why is this an age thing? People die at all ages.
Yeah, but they're most.
And it's not just that. It's people who change jobs and forget their password or forget their email address and can go in and change it.
Fine, okay. Listen, if I find a guy on LinkedIn and I call him up and he says, why are you calling me? I said, I found you on LinkedIn. And he gets mad because I'm bugging him. Does he deserve a punch in the face because he put his profile on LinkedIn and now he doesn't want to be called when I call him up? That's wrong, isn't it, Charlie?
Yeah, I think so.
What should I say to him? Pattern interrupt? Is there a pattern interrupt or a verbal technique I can use on a guy like that? What would you say?
I would say, well, did you make your profile private?
Oh, yeah? Okay, and if he didn't hang up on you, you think you'd gain some ground with him? You think he could recruit a guy?
No, I think you already burned the bridge anyway. The moment he did that, you established no trust from the first 5 seconds of the conversation. Doesn't matter what you say, you've lost that lead.
Okay. Now, look, some people, most of us, I think, headhunters, we like to get a name and get right on the phone and call the person. That's a cold call. Call the candidate like that. But some recruiters who've been on this show don't work like that. They say they always try to find someone in their network who knows that person and can introduce them. Now, first of all, if you're a generalist, I don't know how you can always find someone in a certain niche that the potential candidate is in to make the introduction. But let's say you're working in a niche. Should you always go and look for someone who can connect you, or cold calls just as good, in your humble opinion?
In my humble opinion, I think the best strategy is to start with a quick 10-minute search and then pick up the phone, because in 10 minutes online, you can find enough pieces of information to make educated calls a lot more effectively. In other words, reduce the amount of calls and reduce the time you spend on the phone.
10 minutes? Is that all?
Correct.
Not 3 days just floating through profiles? And
he can do it in 5 minutes.
If you spend 3 days with most of my clients, you'd be fired, because they get 24 hours to fill a rec.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That blows me away. Okay. Now, are we out to find – is our job as recruiters – now, there's different kinds of recruiters. Let's say headhunters, right? Are we out to find – is our job to find the best of the best, because on this show, we've heard the argument that the real money lies in placing average guys who aren't too exotic, but who the client doesn't have time to find herself. Where's the big money in this business? Who should you be targeting, Shally?
I think the big money is in the specialties, anything that requires any kind of specialization. So any industry has it. You know, CPAs are not specialists, but tax CPAs are specialists. Nurses are not specialists, but ER nurses are specialists. So anything that is a technical specialty within that field is probably going to be a lot harder to find for the employer, and that's where the money's going to be.
Okay. So I got another question. Should I keep going, or does someone have something they want to say? I'll just keep going. If the client won't give you a salary, what should you do? I've had this experience recently myself, and it didn't end nice. What would you do?
If a client,
they go up,
I'm sorry, the question is if a client won't give you a salary?
They say this is the kind of person I'm looking for, a senior sales rep with a background in telcos or whatever, and they don't tell you what salary they're looking for. Just bring me the people. We'll
so they're
see,
giving
we'll
you no
out.
Range whatsoever.
Not really, yeah, no range. Or they give you a base.
Well, look up
and they
that
say,
company on Glassdoor and see what people make at that company.
Yeah, there's not that much information on Glassdoor, please.
Okay, so try some other place. You can also go to salary.com and find out what the average so-and-so makes in the average location.
You know what? I don't think they can you trust all the figures on salary.com or pay scale?
I don't, but you got nothing, so what are you going to do? Do nothing?
Yeah.
You got to do something.
That's not, well, what
I think
could
what
do,
you have to do is have a discussion with the client. I wouldn't even call them a client if they're not even
I'm
telling you where to start.
I'm assuming that he's saying the client won't give it. So I'm assuming
right.
At this point he's already tried to get that and was not able to get it because the client is not
disclosing
it.
Would you fire the client? Would you walk away from the job right there and say, look, Mr. Hiring Manager, I don't think we can do business on this basis. Would you walk away, Shally?
No. If I have a fee agreement, I'm going to send him three candidates, and he's going to pick one of those three or else. He's going to tell me why those three aren't any good, and if he can't tell me why they aren't any good, then I walk away. But I'm going to give it a shot because
okay.
I can probably still make a place.
That happened to me. I sent him the candidates. He said, go find some more people. I said, first you got to tell me why these are no good. They seem pretty good to me. Wouldn't do
right?
it. What would you do? Walk away?
Then I walk away because at that point now he's digging you around.
Okay, now here's another thing. What if you plead the VP is supposedly the hiring manager. You send the candidates out. The VP's ready to hire one of them. Then the president gets involved and says, I don't want these guys. I'll go find more people. What would you do?
Who's your client, the VP or the president?
That's what I said. And I said, let me talk to the president. And the HR person I was forced to deal with said no. What would you do?
Is this the same company that was playing games with you about the salary from the beginning? Or is this a different company?
It's the same company.
It's the same company?
Yeah, are you the guest, Jerry, or Shally the guest? Okay.
I'm trying to help clarify
for
your audience, dude. You're not making sense.
Oh, man, Animal, time to fire the client, buddy. Sorry. There's more clients out there.
So I just want to clarify that. You're willing to fire clients. Is that right if they don't give you the right data?
Well, it's not just the right. I mean, if they give me wrong data and I find out and they correct it, that's fine. But if they refuse to give me data and then change the specs, how am I going to hit the bullseye?
Yeah.
How can I do my job if they're making me do it blind?
Okay. What if,
in other words,
now these
Animal, to be perfectly clear about what I'm saying, is you're doing their job for them in the recruiting sense, and you're also helping them write the job description. I'm sorry, but they're the ones that are supposed to write the job description.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
but what if – let me just finish. What if you got an HR person sorry, that's Don Kahn. I'll come right back to you. What if you got an HR person, they force you to deal with HR. You say, look, please go to the hiring manager and ask this question. What are the three absolute requirements for this job? So I'll be able to separate the sheep from the goats. These are your knockout questions. What should I be asking the candidates? And the HR person does not come back with that information from the hiring manager, and they won't let you speak to them directly. What do you do?
You don't do your job. You can't do it.
You walk away? They gave you a job.
Yeah, you can't do your job. You're disabled.
You got the job.
How are
you
gonna
the job description.
Is this the same one that won't tell you the
job
salary?
Description with no range
okay.
and no feedback? I mean, I can match you 1,000 resumes, and they're not going to hire a single one of them because that job description they gave you isn't what they're hiring against. They're not hiring against that job description. They're hiring against some set of criteria that the manager, or in this case the president, has in their mind that they haven't disclosed
okay, that's a
to HR or
that's
anybody.
A different company. That's a different. This you're confusing the two situations. Jerry was right. Okay, Don Kahn, come forward, please. Whoever asked that question.
Oh, I wasn't the one that asked the question.
Who
so
asked
I don't
the
need
question?
To come forward.
Do you have something you want to say, Don?
No, I'm cool.
Who
I
asked
do.
The question? I'm being polite, okay?
I got an answer.
Well, did someone ask a question of Jeff Shally a minute ago? Don't torture me, okay? Why do I have to put up with this? Now, I got to do another ad. My newest paying sponsor, someone we all know well, Mike Astringer. He's a regular on this show, and he owns Human.
I get it. I get it now. I get
he
it.
Owns.
I see where this is going.
He owns HumanCapitalConsultants.com. HumanCapitalConsultants.com is looking for a sales representative in the Boston area. The ideal candidate will have 3 to 5 years of experience in recruiting, staffing services, HR services, or HR systems. I want you to contact, if you're interested, if you're qualified, Mike Astringer at 800-378-0847, extension 701. 800-378-0847, extension 701, or Mike at humancapitalconsultants.net. Mike, you're on the line. Is there anything you want to add to that?
That was beautiful, Animal. Thank you very much.
Okay. Shally, before I go on, is there something you want to say? I've got a big, important question right now. Shally, wake up.
I got nothing to say. Ask your question.
Okay. Now, some people assume that a good person, a good candidate, is going to get promoted very quickly. So she's never going to stay in the same job for a long time. The only person who stays in the same kind of job for a long time is an average candidate. So if a job description asks for 10 years of experience and you have somebody with 2 years of experience, can you take that candidate and make a case to the client that you've got a good person? Now, I was arguing with someone about that. They said, don't ever disagree with a client about the job description. If they want 10 years, you got to get them 10 years. What's the story there?
I don't know. I'm not a recruiter. I'm a sorcerer.
Oh, you've been a recruiter. You know more than anybody about everything. Don't give me that nonsense.
I don't know more than everybody about everything. Come on.
He doesn't like the words everything and everybody, Animal. Didn't you just learn
that,
dude?
Yeah, I don't like blanket statements.
He hates that.
Look, here's the thing. If they're asking for 10 years experience, is it 10 years of the same company or the same job? Because it could be 10 years of the same job in different companies.
Or what about 8?
Same.
8 years of kicking ass.
Yeah, what about 8 years? I mean, that's drawing a really hard line for no reason. I would have a conversation, but you're right in that the client is the one that's paying the bill. So at the end of the day, if they say no, absolutely not, we'll not look at anybody that hasn't been at the same job at the same company for 10 years. Well, what choice do you have? That's the job you got to go out and fill. And if you can't fill it, then you can come back and say I didn't fill it, and here's why.
Really? Okay, Jerry, are you in agreement with that you don't argue with the client about the job description that they write? Or that you really do argue with them and make them, you know, take a more realistic view, that you have people with less experience who can do the job?
I don't ask somebody for that list of crap. I want to know what somebody's going to do. That's how I take a job order and get started. What do you need somebody to do? I don't ever want to see 5 years of this, 12 years of that, and I don't run into it. I don't ask for the whole big three-page write-up. I want to know, what's this guy going to do?
Okay, thank you. Now, Shally, Zoom Info. Someone told me that Zoom Info gives you all the people who attended various conferences. Is that true? And even if Zoom Info doesn't, I argued that the attendees are not online most of the time. The speakers are. Can you find online the attendees of a conference?
Sometimes, not always. So the answer would be no.
Okay, great. Now, I'm out of time, but I screwed up. I brought in my opening act on a day that, you know, I shouldn't have. I thought it would be nice to have him there before Shally, but Shally is Shally. So I'm going to take you overtime, Shally. Is that all right with you?
Works for me.
Okay, great.
Animal, I'm going to rub out the after show today so you can focus on a fantastic guest here.
Thank you very much.
No after show today.
That sounds really personal there. I'm not sure everybody wanted to hear that.
Shally.
Gary's going to do you a hard one while he rubs out no after show.
Now, we've got an ongoing question here. Are hiring managers the stupidest people in the world? You've worked on the inside.
What's the question?
A hiring manager's stupid. I just gave you the example. I got a VP.
A hiring manager stupid? No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think they're stupid. I think you're stupid for getting started on a mission like that. Don't blame your stupidity on them. You should have sized it up and never gotten involved.
Shally, we're talking about job after job. I gave you an example of a VP who doesn't give a salary, a president who interrupts, who takes over the search after the VP selected somebody and doesn't want to give any more information. He just says, go get people.
Look, we're
another
in the only industry where our product can say no, okay? There is no other industry where our product can say no. We have three egos to negotiate in every transaction, the hiring manager, the candidate, and our own. And even if you try to remove those egos, there's always going to be personal opinions and emotions and politics involved. This is a people business. It's about people. If they were widgets and pieces of machinery that you can put in a box somewhere, we wouldn't have these problems. So be grateful you have those problems because they're people problems and you're in the people business.
Sally,
yeah, okay.
Can I add something to that?
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Animal, if you'd done a really complete intake form like Shally does, and, you know, we hold them to it. So if there's some deviation as to, you know, all of a sudden adding new job qualifications or really, you know, changing the search, we can go back and say, look, we met with you for half an hour to an hour. This was your criteria.
But aren't you guys really talking about more of a sourcing service than actually following through the full cycle? Like if somebody says, go get me 10 DBA names with Oracle in Michigan, once you do that, you're done.
Not all.
So in contingent recruiting, we have to take that all the way through to somebody finally starting work there, and you're a little bit more involved in the give and take as they're learning more about the market and the people that you've got in the process, right?
Yeah.
Not
so here's
time.
From
I don't mean to
get
too heavy with you, but
from the sourcing point of view, the challenge is that the language the hiring manager uses to describe what they want isn't always the language that the candidate uses to describe what they do. So there's a mismatch there from the sourcing point of view. So to Kathy's point, that's exactly right. The intake process handles that breakdown in communication. Now, from the other side of the equation, what you just said is also true, and that is that as the hiring managers see the candidates that are available, the specs may shift in favor of or against particular criteria based on the realities of the marketplace. For example, if I find a killer candidate, but they have to reload, and the hiring manager really, really wants them, we might work out some sort of signing bonus because we don't normally do reload. We might write the person a check for a couple of grand to rent a U-Haul or something like that. There's always something you can do. But if you don't try throughout the process, you know, this isn't a cookie-cutter business. Every job is different. Every human being, every individual is different. We're not all necessarily special or unique, okay, but we're all different in one way or another. So you can't just apply a formula to sourcing or a formula to recruiting.
Yeah, okay, I don't understand a thing you said. But anyway, let me go to my questions, and not Jerry's
questions. Did your audience understand it?
I don't think so.
Your audience
and nobody's
has a question.
You know what? Nobody's watching Twitter anymore. I know Jerry isn't. There's a million Twitter
I'm
things.
I'm watching
nobody
it,
gets...
man. Dude, I'm so scared of saying anything from Shally snapping earlier that I'm just...
Don't tell me no one has asked Shally a question for the last half hour from Twitter. Okay? I don't believe it. I need a Twitter secretary.
I don't have any experience at that.
Maureen quit her job. Thank you, Maureen. I've been without a Twitter minder for the last 6 months. Not happy about that. Shally,
okay, I have a question. Can I ask it?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm listening to the question between Jerry and Shally. I think that there's a good answer, and I'd like to hear it. I heard Jerry say when he's talking to the clients, I just ask, what are they going to be doing? And then I'm hearing Shally talk about an intake form. While one size doesn't fit all, there are some basic questions. What is key to a general intake form that helps you to get better criteria up front so you're not having to tune it on the back end?
What is key is that you ask a series of questions that probe on the limits, testing the limits of where the boundaries are. So, for example, if they say 10 years, just like somebody, I don't recall who it was, somebody said on the phone, well, what about if they have 8 years but they kicked ass?
That was me,
Shally.
Jerry underscore Albright. That was me.
That's an interruptive,
Jerry. That's fantastic. I
interrupt
would say, yeah, okay, but if they have 10, if they have 8 years and a PhD, or if they have 7 years and it's in the right, exactly the right kind of job, are you going to dismiss them completely from candidacy? So I push back on those details like that. Are you sure that this is the technology or whatever? And so as you do that, you also identify synonyms or other ways to describe that. Not everybody calls that job title the same thing. Not everybody calls that technology the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you might think something as simple as CPA, in Canada, they don't use CPA. They use, I believe, CMA or
CA.
CA, Chartered Accountant.
CA.
So,
Shally's intake forms actually.
There are different ways to say accountant, not just accountant.
Right.
Okay.
Great.
Okay,
that answers my question. Thanks.
Okay, listen, but I got a question there. Follow up. So I got to search for a sales operations manager. That is a strange title, and there's not a lot of sales operations managers. I was dealing with the HR person. You know, she thought I was an idiot because I wanted her to define the job for me more clearly. Was I wrong, Shally?
I think you should try to define it more clearly, absolutely. Why would you be wrong in trying to define it more clearly?
They said, look, if you don't understand it, we don't want to deal with you. Do you know what a sales operations manager is?
Me?
Yeah. Well, who else am
I talking to? It depends on the company. Are they working on a warehouse? Are they working on distribution? Is it refrigerated distribution? What kind of distribution?
A sales operations manager is somebody, it's not a logistics coordinator. It's somebody who plans, I don't understand it even today, who plans the sales strategy, then hands it over to the sales manager who manages with the sales reps. I don't understand.
What kind of sales strategy? Is it online sales? Is it door-to-door sales? Is it distributed channel sales? Is it partner sales?
Okay, you don't want to answer that question either. Okay, now
you know, the other thing to add in here, though, is, you know, I mean, you're struggling with this one conversation, this one intake form, this one client. Do you have three or four other projects you could be working on, or is this your only shot at any kind of success? I mean, come on, man. Some of these are good,
Jerry,
some are bad. You got to prioritize.
You're making it. Okay, so yeah, well, that's why I'm asking Shally to tell me. What? Oh, who's doing that?
A Stringer.
It is not.
Mike A. Stringer.
It is not.
Okay. Hey, idiot.
Hey, Dominic.
Put your phone off. Gee whiz.
Oh,
who's that, you idiot? I'm going to have to start knocking people off. Oh, you know what? I didn't look. There's a ton of people here that I didn't allow into the show yet.
Well, we're going to get to somebody's voicemail here in a second. What are we going to do then?
So.
Let's leave a good message.
Shoot. Oh, let me see who it is.
Oh, that'll be good.
Okay, I'm turning guys off and putting them on again.
That was A-Stringer, wasn't it?
Okay, just a couple of questions. Okay, so Shally, you're on Tumblr. Is there a reason? Do you love Tumblr for some reason?
It's really easy to use, really easy, and integrates with a lot of other services by just a simple click.
Yeah. Okay, one more question.
I got to go. Goodbye, everybody. Jerry underscore Albright signing off.
Okay,
Mike,
yeah, I'll
knock it off. Later.
I'll take five more minutes. Shally, we're almost up, so I'll take five more minutes. You talked about Relo a second ago. A lot of big companies have a big plant or something like that in the middle of the Midwest, like Missouri or Indiana where Jerry is. Will you take – it's hard to move people to those places, and there's no local people to recruit. Will you take an order like that?
Yeah, because that's where I'm going to make the money, right? If it's really hard to do, nobody else is doing it. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
No one's doing it because it's impossible. That's why I don't agree with
you
about
that. You said
hard to
do. You didn't say impossible. If it's impossible, I won't take it.
Well, what do you think? Is it easy to recruit someone to Springfield, Missouri? Or,
no, I just said it's hard to do. That's why I get paid.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I get paid to do the hard stuff, not the easy stuff.
Okay, I don't know. And, okay, a couple other things. I like something you said last week at the CDI conference. You said in your when you leave a blog posting, a comment for a blog posting, use your Twitter address as your link rather than your blog because it's easier to connect with you and engage actively if they go to your Twitter account. I thought that was really smart. Did I understand what you were saying there?
I think so. Yeah, it's in your signature file and other profiles. So you're including a link to your Twitter from your Facebook post or your LinkedIn post.
Okay. And you have a whole bunch of stuff about that on for email as well. Can you put you said put your landing address as a link and your email signature. What about your Twitter address? That's part of your landing page.
Yeah,
right?
Actually what I use right now is InfoStripe And there's also another one called about.me. But if you go to infostripe.com/Shally, you'll see an example. And from there, you'll see the Twitter, the LinkedIn. It's basically a landing page that has links to all the other places.
Okay. Now, Shally.
Simplify it for the reader. They just have one place to go. Let them choose if they want to connect with me on Twitter.
Shally, you know what's important. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you think I should have asked you today?
Wow.
Does anybody have a question for Shally before I let him go and let him think about something he wants to say? Any questions before I let him go?
Well, someone tweeted this. I think it might have been Maureen. Well, what's the future of the job of sourcer? In other words, what's going to happen to sourcers? You asked what's going to happen to search firms earlier, and I think that was Maureen's point. I can answer that.
Go ahead.
I think Maureen's question was actually, where does the process for a sourcer begin and end?
Okay, that's both of those are answerable questions. The process for the sourcer begins with the intake meeting. Whether the sourcer is present or not, as long as that information is collected, that's when sourcing is initiated. So the need has been identified for research. Sourcer gets involved, intake meeting, and then it ends at some point during a handoff after the initial contact. Now, in some organizations, sourcers do not do initial contact. They don't make calls and they don't send emails. They simply do research and then turn over the research to recruiters. In some organizations, the sourcers do initial email or initial contact via social network or something like that. But at that point, when there's engagement, that's the handoff at some point during the engagement process between sourcing and recruiting. As far as the future of sourcing, my prediction is continued specialization. People are going to specialize in channels and diversify into a variety of different techniques or technical approaches. More and more people will start learning how to do different kinds of things. There'll be social media specific specialties. There'll be cold calling or phone sourcing specialties like what Maureen does. There'll be people who are specialized in automation. There'll be people who are specialized in using offshore teams and so on. So that's, I think, what we're going to see is further specialization of the sourcing function.
I have a question, Shally.
Go ahead, last one.
Shally, what types of companies typically use your services? Are they big companies, small companies, tech companies? What kind of companies typically would come to you if that's not giving out too proprietary information?
No, it's not. It's a really good question. Basically, the answer to that is if the organization has at least 25% of their hires that are of the we need to go out and source criteria, in other words, if at least 25% of their hires are going unfiltered traditional means, they probably need some sort of solution from us. Obviously, the more that percentage increases, the more our flexible solutions will apply. So we're looking at, you know, some companies can say, hey, we don't really need to do any sourcing because we get everything we need from posting jobs and all our jobs are filled. They obviously won't need me. Where they need our organization is when they haven't been able to pipeline talent for those 25 to 30% of the jobs that are painfully unfilled. You know, 90 days, 140 days have gone by, even longer, and the jobs still, there are no candidates, there are no applicants, nobody's been interviewed, nobody's been submitted. They definitely need some solution like that. So they could be small, they could be medium-sized. Typically, the really, really large companies will have their own internal sourcing teams already. So in that case, they're just coming to us for additional training to scale up their sourcers. They're not coming to us for some of the other services. But even those kinds of companies still come to us.
Do you find that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. One follow-up question, Animal, please.
Yep.
Do you find that those companies have typically used a third-party resource at some point in the past? That third-party recruiter couldn't fill the job, so they're coming to you for sort of a heightened level of sourcing?
You know, sometimes we have customers that are themselves third-party and also RPOs. So it's not always necessarily the case. It's a matter of, somebody said it earlier.
I can't hear
Hello?
Him anymore. Can you?
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
He cut out.
Oh, no.
He cut out. I guess he got tired. Okay.
Oh, he just became part of the 8%.
Don
and
Khan,
I just wanted to congratulate him on hiring Kathy Mann.
Yeah.
Don Khan, do you want to handle the after show? Yes or no?
No,
quick.
No, I don't
no?
have good connection today. Let me get good connection
well, yes,
first.
Yes, you do have a great connection. Maureen, are you here?
I'm here.
You want to handle the... I can't get... I'd like to give
no,
it to Mike,
it
but
canceled.
Jerry's going to have a fit. You want to do
I
the after
it was
show?
No, when I talk, I start coughing.
Oh, okay. So there's no after show. That's the end of the show.
You know what, Animal?
Show.
I think
thank
you should
everybody.
Mix it up. And
listen, I'm going to give you the same kind of interview as if you were, you're looking for a job. If you were coming to me for a job, I'm going to ask you the same, very same questions. But we've got a panel interview here. Anybody on the panel is welcome to butt in and ask a question or a follow-up. Is that okay?
Yeah, no problem.
You guys, are you in on this? Do you have some questions? You start thinking about them. Okay, Alex, first question. Have you ever heard that Eskimos have 32 different words for snow?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. They were. They do. Anybody else know that?
I knew that.
Okay, yeah. So, well, I was going to ask her, if you were a snowflake, which word would apply to you? That's a pretty good one, eh?
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Well, Lena, we can change it. Alex, if you were a snowflake, what color would you be?
He knew what he was in for, and sorry if you don't like the results. We're all big boys here. Big boys, big girls. We're all adults. Yeah, if you're going to get, you know, hurt feelings over something of any kind of constructive criticism, don't ask a person for their opinion. You don't want the truth, don't ask. It's as simple as that. We don't like what we hear, but sometimes we need to hear it. We're gonna rock the stone.